Good afternoon, everybody. Today is April 7th, 2024, the day before the solar eclipse. Welcome to Recovery Tools and Challenges. My name is Angela Dowling. I also have a group that I'm in, was a addict that I'm an admin of. Please check it out if you would like to. And sorry if you hear any background noise. That's my three baby girl kittens I just got playing and running around with toys. Today we're going to talk about the impact of sexual and domestic violence on the substance abuse and addiction. And one of the reasons I did this podcast is because I went through both scenarios, sexual and domestic violence. Sexual abuse, of course. And bands, when I was growing up in my teenage years and stuff, I chose the addiction life to deal with the unwanted pain and hurts and emotions that come with the sexual abuse. And then as I got older and into relationships, domestic violence followed. The cause of drugs and alcohol addiction aren't fully known, but they could potentially be rooted in various factors, including genetics, family history, mental health conditions, and environmental influence. Sadly, sexual abuse and domestic violence are two factors that may contribute to a person choosing to use substances and may lead them to eventually seek inpatient treatment. Domestic abuse counseling and treatment can help people recover from substance abuse and domestic violence. Domestic violence and some of the sexual abuse statistics that I found interesting. Domestic violence and sexual abuse impact people in all demographics, regardless of the gender, race, or nationality of the victim. The trauma suffered can do long-lasting psychological harm and may be a cause of addiction. According to various studies, victims of intimate partner violence, IPV, are 70% more likely to drink heavily than those who have not experienced IPV. Victims are also more likely to use marijuana. In addition to substance abuse, survivors may also experience mental health issues, including depression and post-traumatic stress disorder. Up to 50% of women seeking rehab for mental health and 25 to 50% of women in substance abuse treatment report IPV. Statistics compiled by RAIN, Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, indicate victims are largely female, with 80% of juvenile victims and 90% of adult victims being female. In the United States, around 35.6% of women have experienced stalking, physical violence, or sexual assault within their lifetime in connection to an intimate something. Despite the greater impact on women, men can also be the victims of physical and sexual violence, with one of every 10 rape victims being male. Almost 1 in 10 men have experienced sexual abuse physical violence or stalking by an intimate partner. How does sexual abuse and domestic violence impact on substance abuse? People who have experienced sexual abuse and or domestic violence may suffer from depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, anger, or suicide ideations as a result. 94% of women who have been raped experience symptoms of PTSD in the 2 weeks after the incident, while 30% still experience symptoms of PTSD 9 months post-incident. Some sexual and domestic abuse survivors may begin to use or increase their use of drugs and alcohol as a way of escaping feelings and memories associated with abuse. People who have experienced sexual assault are 6 times more likely to use other major drugs than those who hadn't been assaulted. Addiction, sexual abuse, and domestic abuse. Unfortunately, the repeated and compulsive use of drugs and or alcohol can lead to addiction, also known as a substance use disorder. While addiction is a chronic disease of the brain, it is also treatable. Some of the symptoms of alcohol and drug addiction. The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, DSM-5, categorizes SUDs with SUDs as in substance use disorders with specific diagnostic criteria and the way a substance use disorder presents in a person will vary. Diagnosis of a substance use disorder, medical professional, should only be done by a medical professional, but the following criteria may help you identify a potential substance use disorder in yourself or others. If you or a loved one has experienced 2 or more of these criteria in a 12-month period, you may need to seek help for a substance use disorder. Some of these symptoms are uncontrolled substance use, a need to increase the dose to achieve the same effect, withdrawal symptoms after not taking a dose, participation in dangerous activities while under the influence, like drunk driving, preoccupation with getting and using a substance, continued use of drugs or alcohol despite the negative impacts on one's life, negligence of responsibilities at home, school, or work, legal or financial troubles related to the addiction, such as DUI tickets, problems in relationships because of substance abuse, attempts to hide the signs of drug or alcohol use, changes in appetite and appearance, a sudden gain or loss of weight, unexplained and sudden mood changes or disorder, tremors, slurred speech, or bloodshot eyes. People struggling with drugs or alcohol addiction should seek help as soon as possible. If domestic abuse or sexual violence has occurred, participating in an alcohol or drug treatment program at an addiction and domestic violence recovery program or sexual abuse rehab may help a person to recover. Some tips to help choosing substance and domestic violence treatment centers. Domestic violence and sexual abuse are sensitive subjects for many. Survivors may feel guilt or shame and may be reluctant to get treatment as it might bring back painful memories or triggers. Finding a substance abuse rehabilitation facility that specializes in recovery from domestic violence or that has specific programs to treat people who have experienced sexual violence may help a person feel more comfortable and lead to better treatment outcomes. You may be wondering, where can I find domestic abuse treatment centers near me? When looking at types of treatment programs for sexual abuse, domestic violence, and drug and alcohol abuse, the most important aspect is that treatment is tailored to meet the individual's needs. Additionally, you may want to ask the following questions. Do they address co-occurring mental health conditions? Do they offer detox? Do they treat special populations such as men, women, couples, LGBTQ, etc.? What is the cost? Do they accept insurance and do they offer payment plans? Where is it located? Do they offer other amenities? Do they offer medications? Does the facility and staff hold accreditations or certifications? Do they help with aftercare planning? Now, the reason I was so bound and determined to do this podcast, because as a child, I was sexually abused growing up, and then I did watch my sister be sexually abused by the same individual. And so that really took a toll on my childhood and my young childhood years. Therefore, as I got into junior high and high school, I started hanging out and rebelling with the wrong crowd, which therefore I was introduced to cigarettes and then a little bit of beer here and there, and marijuana. Now, after I had my first child at the age of 18, I had already previously beforehand started having migraines, like very severe migraines at the age of 12, 13 years old. But, you know, nothing was really ever thought of it at the time. But further down the road, after I had my first child, when I was 18 years old, my hormones had changed, is what the counselor and psychologist had told me, which when my hormones had changed, I'd become a woman, and therefore the PTSD was in full effect. My first 3 my 20s and my early 30s was horrible. I was addicted to drugs. I was an alcoholic. I also jumped from relationship to relationship, even though I was a married woman and most of that time. I did horrible things to people that loved me due to the outcome of what was done to me. And I have learned, even though I'm coming up on almost 5 years clean in July, I have not healed from the domestic violence or the sexual abuse. And I'm 45 years old and still cannot have a healthy relationship because I don't know how. Because I have not learned how to cope with what happened to me, and that not all people are bad people. And I'm learning that people have cared about me, that were good people, but I wouldn't give them the time of day because I did not know how to take people when they treated me nice. When you treated me nice and it was a legit just being nice, I don't know what that means because it was never taught to me. And being that I'm just now realizing all this and stuff, I decided to get a sponsor. And she's amazing. I have at least 2 to 3 appointments with her a week. Plus, she has her own recovery group, Women Helping Women. And just since the time she's become my sponsor, I've already learned so much in just the short amount of time that she's been my sponsor. But it's amazing because I'm learning how to accept people being nice to me, to accept people that they're not all out to get me or to harm me, and that I have to deal with loving myself and forgiving myself. And so I really wanted to do this podcast because it did mean something, and it does mean something to me. And like I said, I hope and pray that these podcasts reach women and men that don't think there's help out there. There is. Always. You just have to reach out to the right people and find the right places. Like I said, my name is Angela. This is my Recovery Tools and Challenges podcast. You can leave comments on here. You can also find me on Facebook in the recovery group Was a Addict. And join our group and just join me in this amazing recovery journey I'm on and my healing process. And I thank you so much for supporting me and continue to let me feed you with all this valuable information and help and support that I love giving out to y'all. Until next time, I hope you have a great rest of your Sunday or wherever you might be. And be safe during the solar eclipse tomorrow. And I will catch you next time on Recovery Tools and Challenges.